to call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 2 p.m. and it's Sunday, May 14, 2023. Before we begin, I want to thank Carrie Cooperreiter, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Doug Bridges from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present, I have Senator Kaufman, Senator Giesel, Senator Tobin is online, my Vice Chair, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first and only order of business today is House Bill 61, Limitations on Firearms Restrictions, sponsored by Speaker Tilton. This is the second hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. We have before us today a proposed committee substitute. Here to present the committee substitute is my staff, Lizzie Kubitz. Ms. Kubitz, if you would please come forward, identify yourself for the record, and then you can begin your remarks.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Lizzie Kubitz, and I'm staff to Senator Klayman. So today we're looking at version D of House Bill 61, and we made three changes. The first change occurs on page 1, lines 3 through 5. Here we've added legislative intent language. It is the intent of the legislature that this act does not affect the ability of the state or a municipality to exercise its duties under AS 2935-145. This is the statute that relates to the government's authority to regulate firearms and knives. The second change occurs on page 2, lines 5 through 6. Here we've amended all forms of commerce within the jurisdiction to exempt grocery stores, pharmacies, medical facilities, and businesses that provide housing, including rental accommodations, hotels, and motels. This change was made to address concerns that were brought up during the last committee about closure and limitations on forms of commerce. And the final change occurs on page 2 between lines 25 and 26. Here we removed previous subsection D. This removed all reference to what a prevailing plaintiff may recover in a civil case, including 1, the greater amount of actual economic damages or punitive damages in the amount of 3 times the plaintiff's attorney fees, 2, court costs, and 3, attorney fees. This section was removed because there are other Alaska statutes that address what a prevailing plaintiff may recover. That's all I have.
So first, I'll ask committee members, and after this, I'll ask either the speaker or her staff to provide their comments on the CS, but questions from the committee with regard to the CS for Ms. Kubitz. I don't see any questions. Speaker Tilton or your staff, would one of you like to come up and provide your comments on the CS? Or you can both come up.
I'd like to say thank you to the committee for hearing this bill today. My name is Kathy Tilton, House District 26, with a change. Thank you for providing the CS, and I'll just make a few comments, and then I'll turn it over to my staff who can finish the comments. As far as the CS, the intent language I think is appropriate, and I don't have a problem with the intent language being in the bill. As far as the exemptions, I do have concerns about those exemptions, and part of that has to do with just leading to adding A, more exemptions, and B, to the fact that your right to our Second Amendment right is a constitutional right. And so I have some concerns about adding exemptions to that. So Mr. Hilliard will maybe carry on with that a little bit more. And in regards to the third change, which is a change in the damages, although I would prefer for it to remain the same, it is a piece that I can probably live with as we move forward. So Mr. Hilliard, could you please?
For the record, Heath Hilliard, staff to Representative Tilton. With regard to the section dealing with the 3 times plaintiff's attorney fees, as I explained in the additional memorandum that I provided to the committee, that was not an intentional inclusion from drafting. That was a result of the use of the Missouri bill that was the basis for HB 61. So while I obviously defer to my boss, the speaker, as whether or not she liked it or not, I can tell you from a drafting standpoint that was not intentionally included and really wasn't identified until the previous version of this bill was introduced last year, and that was brought up. So with regard to that, I don't think there's any objection. As we talked previously, Mr. Chair, with regard to the exemptions that you're providing in here for grocery stores, pharmacies, medical facilities, et cetera, my only thought was is that those in an emergency situation would be prima facie, in a required business, what's the term? I'm losing it. But an essential business. So, Representative Tilton, and I know that having spoken with the representative, and I think you'll hear this from representative from the NRA, that their concern is that they're being put on equal footing with an enumerated constitutional right. So, certainly understand the rationale behind the inclusion, but again, I think the concern is that it's putting those businesses on the same equal footing as an enumerated constitutional right, which is not essentially a second class right. So, I don't really have anything further to add. I tried in the memorandum that I replied to, I tried to respond to everything that I recalled from the original committee hearing, and if I didn't hit everything, my apologies, but it was certainly my intention to do so. So I have nothing further.
I didn't have any questions after your memorandum. I thought it was pretty complete. Any questions from members of the committee, either for Representative Tilton or her staff? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question that I did not get the opportunity to ask earlier because I was in another committee when this bill was heard, so I apologize for bringing it a little late. The standing questions to bring civil suit, I guess it's my understanding that the folks and organizations described here in the bill, and I think this language about who may sue is pretty close to the original. Is there a sense, what is the risk that the courthouse door is closed to them? My sense of Alaska law is that just about anybody can get in to sue to defend their rights. So can you articulate the necessity for having this in the bill?
So through the chair, Senator Keel, it's clear, and I appreciate the chair's willingness to share some previous case law, which he was a part of, that really
it was not a part of the.
Oh, case. I apologize. But you provided it. I apologize.
Provided the cases, there are cases.
It is very, very clear that, as he pointed out, that the Alaska Supreme Court provides very liberal sort of application of standing and didn't disagree with that. The concern on behalf of the sponsor, if I may, is that it adds an additional layer of sort of complexity and cost, whereas if it's enumerated, if it's clear in the statute that, you know, people that are affected by a violation of this have standing, they don't have to go to through that additional step with attorneys and motion work to apply for standing and maintain it. So we were just trying to make it a little easier and clearer for those that might be affected. But again, I do understand absolutely that the Alaska Supreme Court is very liberal in terms of application of standing. It was just we thought it was clearer and it made it a little bit easier for those that might be affected if this situation were to occur in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate putting that on the record. That's helpful.
Thank you very much. Any other questions from committee? I don't see any other questions from members of the committee. Can I have a motion to adopt the CS as our working document?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Judiciary Committee adopt the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 61, its work order 33LS03333/D-Delta as our working document.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections. Committee adopts the committee substitute to House Bill 62. We're now going to open up for public testimony. We have a lot of people online, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell folks that we're going to be at 2 minute and we're going to enforce it strictly at 1 minute and 45. I'm going to give you a warning, and at 2 minutes I'm going to say thank you. So,
Mr. Chairman, will we move back into the
absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, thank you for joining us today. So we're going to open the public testimony on House Bill 61. First, I'll ask, is there anyone in the room who would like to provide public testimony for House Bill 61? Hearing and seeing no one, we'll go to the folks online. The first person online is Mike Coons. Mr. Coons, if you would identify yourself, and please proceed. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, sir. My name is Mike Coons from Palmer, and speaking for myself, I fully support HB 61. On Friday, May 12th, OAN headline and article quotes, Virginia judge overturns federal law prohibiting sale of handguns to under 21. A decision made on Wednesday by United States District Judge Robert Payne in Richmond would let retailers sell flat pistols to customers aged 18 to 20. Many of the duties and privileges of citizenship, such as the ability to vote, enroll in the military without parental consent, and serve on a federal jury, are bestowed at the age of 18, according to Payne's 71-page decision. That, in and of itself, is a direct hard push back of what our government has been doing since the 1968 Gun Control Act. Another and final quote, in the aftermath of the historic Supreme Court decision last year, when altered the standard courts have traditionally used to assess appeals to weapons restrictions, Payne's judgment is the most recent one to strike down gun prohibitions. Quote, according to the Supreme Court, judges should no longer take into account how well legislation advances societal goals by strengthening public safety, end quote. How does this pertain to HB 61? Easy. This takes away the social grounds reasoning, such as what happened during the China virus, was not only restricted, but denied citizens' ability to purchase ammunition and firearms. This happened not just during the China virus, but national riots fostered by BLM that was killing people and burning down blocks of private property. BLM was very active in Alaska and demonstrating at that time. HB 61 will ensure that no future tyrant will be able to keep abiding citizens from purchasing firearms and ammo during a national emergency, for whatever the reason, be it self-defense against anarchy or just able to get out on the range. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have John Leto. Mr. Leto, if you'd identify yourself for the record, please proceed.
Yes, my name is John Leto from Wasilla, representing myself. And it's my privilege today to be able to have you allow to me to make these comments regarding House Bill 61. I completely support the comments and position of Kathy Tilton and her previous comments just now. Also, I must say that the comments of Mike Coons are not only timely, accurate, and necessary to understand that we do not lose control of our Second Amendment and our continuing alignment to keep and bear arms, that it not be infringed. Thank you for allowing my testimony. And let's move on. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Tom Boutine. Mr. Boutine, please identify yourself for the record. You can proceed.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Tom Boutine, Juneau. Very much appreciate how hard you folks work, by the way. I very much support House Bill 61 and urge you to make sure it gets enacted this session. I share the House Speaker's concerns about the committee substitute, and I really hope that having this committee substitute doesn't get it tied up so that you can't get the thing enacted by the end of the session. That's really all I have. Firearms are not a second-class right, but any number of people across the nation keep trying to make them so. And I think this is a great bill, and I think the way it was originally drafted was just fine. Thank you very much, and thanks again for how hard you work.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we've got Ann Gifford. Ms. Gifford, if you want to identify yourself for the record, please proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Clayman and committee members. Yes, my name is Ann Gifford. I'm a 40-year resident of Juneau, and I'm here today testifying on my own on Mother's Day, sitting inside instead of outside in our beautiful sunshine, because as a mother and a grandmother, I care very much about our children's safety. And this bill, HB 61, would take away what little authority our governor and other public officials have to limit carrying or use of guns during an emergency, even when those limits would help keep kids and other people safe. Guns are useful tools, but they have also become the number one cause of death for children and teenagers in Alaska. We need some reasonable limits on when and where they can be used. So please spend your time and energy on bills that would help to reduce gun violence in our state rather than on misguided bills like HB 61. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and thanks for your service to our state.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Lou Ann McVeigh. Ms. McVeigh, if you want to identify yourself for the record, please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak, Chairman Klayman and committee members. This is Lou Ann McVeigh of Douglas, Alaska. I'm a retired teacher, and Alaska has been my home since my parents moved to Juneau in 1957. My family's always had at least one firearm in our home used for hunting. I've followed this bill throughout the session, and I oppose HB 61. I urge you to prevent its passage from your committee. It's not appropriate to prevent the governor, a state agency, or a municipality from taking action during a declared disaster emergency, restricting the possession, use, or sale of a firearm accessory, ammunition, I realized I was on speakerphone, or other weapon. It doesn't make sense to stop our elected officials or agencies from temporarily closing gun stores or gun ranges during a declared disaster. During such an emergency, emotions tend to run hot, and we can't predict emergencies in which our leaders might find it necessary to restrict gun use or sales, to limit this chaos that can erupt when angry people have easy access to firearms. I trust the ability of our leaders to decide when such limits are necessary. Please don't remove a tool that could be used for constructive purposes to disarm those who might cause harm to others. Guns won't solve human strife, especially during such a disaster. Please prevent HB 61 from passing out of your committee and instead put your energy into constructive legislation such as requiring secure storage of firearms rather than moving into law unnecessary legislation like HB 61. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and happy Mother's Day to the mothers.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Avian Klein. If you would please identify yourself for the record, you can please proceed. And if you have any affiliation, state that affiliation.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Klayman, honorable members of the committee. For the record, Avian Klein, State Director for the NRA. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on House Bill 61 on behalf of the NRA's members in Alaska. House Bill 61 protects Alaskans' constitutional right to keep and bear arms from government infringement during emergency disaster declarations. House Bill 61 prevents state and municipalities from acting under the color of this emergency disaster declaration from arbitrarily infringing on the right to keep and bear arms. This bill also avoids improperly placing the burden of proof on the business owner to establish that their firearms business is critical or essential in an emergency. At the core of the Second Amendment is the right to self-defense. The importance of this right is elevated in times of chaos, uncertainty, and emergencies. Alaskans must be able to access firearms, ammunition, shooting ranges, and other essential firearms-related businesses. House Bill 61 provides a thoughtful and effective approach to balance Second Amendment rights and local control. These limitations are drawn from real example of restrictions imposed by governmental entities during disaster emergency declarations that have infringed on the rights to keep and bear arms. First, we saw this in Hurricane Katrina in 2005, and 18 years later, we're witnessing these declarations of emergency in COVID and these restrictions infringing on Alaskans' rights to keep and bear arms. The NRA has remaining concerns with the committee substitute, particularly Section 2A4, the United States Constitution and the Alaska State Constitution.
Ms. Klein, you're at the 145 mark.
And this right must be treated accordingly. The Supreme Court has repeatedly upheld this right, and as recently as last year in 2022 in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin decision, expressly held that the Second Amendment is not a second-class right.
We have Sherry Ruiz.
It is an essential function, and particularly—
Ms. Klein, your time is up. Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Sherry Ruiz. Ms. Ruiz, if you want to identify yourself for the record, please proceed.
Oh, Yes, sir. Hi, my name is Cherry Ruiz, and I live in Palmer, and I support HB 61, the ability for citizens to purchase firearms and have access to firearms education and training to ensure safe handling of firearms in our community during an emergency. I do support Representative Tilton's regarding with other identities being leveled as a constitutional right. Please pass this bill. Save the Alaskan Second Amendment's right. Have trust and faith in your fellow Alaskans during emergency declarations and keep them safe and allow them to have the education and training to be that is needed. And so keeping these businesses open during the declaration of an emergency is for the overall betterment of the community and for our state. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Odette Edgar. Ms. Edgar.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Clay and members of the Judiciary Committee. My name is Odette Edgar. I live in Juneau. I'm a 53-year resident, and I represent myself. I am testifying in opposition to HB 61. During an emergency, state and municipal officials must take unusual measures to protect public safety. This bill makes them also take special measures to protect themselves from being sued, on top of trying to protect citizens during volatile times. One what-if situation that's been discussed in the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee is if officials prohibit guns in an emergency shelter or soup kitchen set up in a public place, for example, a Walmart parking lot, they could be sued. I believe guns are not appropriate in an emergency shelter, regardless of its location. I cook dinner once a month at Juneau's Glory Hall, and my experience tells me that bringing a legal gun into a shelter would not increase the safety, would increase danger. Please don't. This is a side issue, but I think it's important to resolve it. I do also have objections to Section C and D. Section C allows two or more members of a gun rights group or the group itself to bring a civil action in superior court. I strongly object to giving any gun rights organization special status under Alaska law. A gun rights organization is a special interest group that does not reflect my values. I urge you to remove Section C from this committee substitute. And I'm glad that Section D has been removed. That calls for triple.
Ms. Edgar, you're at the 1:45 mark.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Michael Garhart. Mr. Garhart, if you want to identify yourself for the record, please proceed.
Yes, this is Michael Garhart. I'm speaking for myself. And I'm in favor of this bill. Any bill that supports the Second Amendment in any way is welcome. Americans need to be able to defend themselves against home invasions and foreign invasion, domestic tyranny, and terrorism. The Second Amendment shall not be infringed. I took an oath to defend the Constitution, and all law-abiding Americans should be able to have their arms and be able to defend themselves. If they keep taking this away in any little way, when we get invaded, and I'm saying when we get invaded, we need to be able to defend ourselves. We're not going to be able to call 911. It's not going to work. So I support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Ann Caulfield. Ms. Caulfield, please proceed.
Yes, my name is Annie Caulfield. I'm a 46-year resident of Alaska. I live in Juneau, Alaska, and I'm also a gun owner. I appreciate you hearing my testimony. I'm speaking for myself. And I am testifying in strong opposition to HB 61 and am addressing my concerns from the perspective of a disaster mental health worker. I'm particularly concerned about the aspect of HB 61 that would not allow the governor, state agencies, or municipalities to place any additional temporary restrictions on gun use and possession during a declared emergency. This aspect of the bill is reckless, dangerous, and could lead to tragic outcomes. I'm sure that it's not you or anybody else that is testifying
today for lunch. I volunteered with the Red Cross as a mental health volunteer for 6 years and have responded to numerous disasters here in Alaska as well as across our nation. Working in disaster shelters is demanding and at times chaotic. Individuals living in disaster shelters are often in shock, mentally unstable, angry, and confused. Frankly, the thought of unrestricted access to firearms in these shelters is terrifying. If such a bill is passed with the potential ramifications of unrestricted firearm access, I would be unwilling to volunteer in a shelter. Additionally, I'm very concerned that this bill could potentially affect the safety and well-being of other volunteers.
Ms. Crawford, you're at the 145
residents. Thank you very much for hearing my testimony.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Jan Caulfield. Ms. Jan Caulfield?
Yes, hello. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify. This is Jan Caulfield. I'm a 44-year resident of Alaska. My family owns a gun, which we use for hunting, and I strongly oppose HB 61. I've listened to and testified at the House committee hearings regarding this bill. I've tried to stay abreast of what's going on with the bill, but having a hearing on Mother's Day with a committee substitute posted so recently before the hearing doesn't leave a complete time for a good analysis. Nevertheless, it's my understanding that this CS does not yet address my primary concern. I have no problem with providing for the equity and commerce that the bill proponents have asked for, but that would just take a one-line piece of legislation. This bill goes far beyond that and raises confusion about its effect on the ability of the state and municipalities to keep the public safe during a disaster. I'm still concerned that the new intent language does not truly ensure that state agencies and municipalities could place restrictions on gun use and possessions during a declared emergency in places where they where otherwise guns were allowed prior to the pre-disaster. I'm really concerned about the need for sensible restrictions in emergency shelters such as others have addressed. Disaster agencies really need to be able to respond to the particular risks and dangers in each emergency to keep us safe, and anything that ties their hands or creates confusion, as I believe this bill does, even with the intent language, can keep us less safe, and in my opinion, that makes no sense to give that or to take that authority away. Second, I do not support including special interest groups being mentioned in the bill as having standing in a civil suit. And while the triple punitive damages has been eliminated, and I support that.
Ms. Caulfield, you're at the 145 mark.
That the fear of costly litigation could still be a dangerous distraction to state and local officials as they're trying to manage rapid disaster response in a crisis situation. And I think it could really dampen good decision-making to have that
Thank
civil
you very
suit
much.
Provision.
Ms. Caulfield, your time is up. Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Irene Bortnick. Ms. Bortnick.
Hello, my name is Irene Bortnick. I live in Anchorage, and I am strongly opposed to HB 61. While I support the right to bear arms, I urge you to vote against HB 61. The substitute version is confusing, and only finding out about it while on the phone, which I could hardly hear, made it even more confusing. This bill enables people who should not have guns to more easily acquire them. I am in favor of any bills that add to the safety of our citizens at all times, and especially during an emergency. Even with the amendments, this bill still seems to do nothing to ensure our safety, and in fact puts us more at risk. Please vote no on HB 61 and move on to passing a reasonable budget that includes money for education. Please stop wasting yours and the community's time. Thank you for your service in the House.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Joel Sigman. Mr. Sigman, please proceed.
Yes, Joel Sigman, and anybody that does vote against this bill should step down because you're going against constitutional rights, for one thing. Shall not be infringed upon. And the reason they want to get gun control so bad is for, if you look at the independence behind the constitutions, it explains And so there's a lot of sheep out there that's scared. Would you rather have 50 guys with good guys with guns or one, against one criminal? One, you know, people wouldn't shoot each other if they had knew everybody else was armed to take them out. It's, you know, I'd rather have a bunch of people with them than without them that are good people. Criminals can get guns anywhere. It don't matter what you take and try to do to the honest person like us. It's that criminal that can always get whatever he wants. So gun laws that you're making ain't going to protect none of us. And it's sad to say, I'd rather have 50 guys, good guys, with a gun to protect me against a criminal. You guys need to figure that out. People, in the Western days, people didn't take and do this all the time for a simple reason. They thought they'd get shot. So they didn't do it.
Mr. Sigmund, you're at the 145 mark.
All right. Well, thank you. And I just, you know, people with guns can protect you. People without, you're doomed. Take care.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Donna Anthony. Ms. Anthony.
Hi there. My name is Donna Anthony, and I'm currently the police chief for a department here in Alaska. I'm also the owner of Point Blank Firearms and Self-Defense Training for over 9 years. I'm calling to support SB 61. I want to talk about some of the false sense of security some of the citizens in Alaska seem to have. We have less than 900 officers in the state of Alaska. 40% of the state has no law enforcement. And during the time of COVID, I don't think a lot of people understand that we were struggling to keep dispatch centers open. In law enforcement, we were struggling to have officers on the road during COVID. So when you called 911 during certain emergencies, some officers did respond, some did not. So I do support the Second Amendment strongly that civilians have the right to protect themselves and their families, especially during a disaster. We shouldn't be locking certain businesses down and not locking certain businesses down. So again, I support SB 61, and I just want to add another comment when it comes to domestic violence shelter. I heard somebody talking about it. We already have statute out there. You cannot have handguns in the statute, under the statute of Alaska, in schools, domestic violence shelter. So there's already laws there. This is supporting SB 61 during emergency disaster. You are your first responder, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Tamara Cruz Roselius. Ms. Roselius, please proceed.
Hi. Thank you, members of the committee, for taking public comment from Alaskans. I'm testifying for myself, a Fairbanks non-practicing attorney, mom, and gun-owning family, resident since 83, and for the Alaska chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense, in opposition to this bill. If the problem that needs addressed is the state shut down firearm stores during the pandemic, leave this bill at only equity and commerce. The rest of it is legislative overreach into state and local governance. Preventing any restrictions on firearm use during emergencies, the clear language of the bill, during a disaster goes too far. During a state of emergency, the focus should be on officials' actions that protect public safety, not on confusing state and local government's power to maintain public safety, and by specifically giving organizations the right to sue officials when they're trying to preserve that public safety. That is a special privilege that goes too far. With possibilities of overcrowded shelters and conditions we haven't imagined, the choice of where to bring guns and not bring guns is better left to trained professionals, because we all know what matters most in an emergency is an immediate response on the ground to existing conditions. Because constitutional limits on state authority and our guaranteed rights under Section 19 of Alaska Constitution, the right to keep and bear arms, remain in full effect during an emergency, this is unnecessary. We already have existing rights. What others are testifying against possible arbitrary restrictions on individual Alaskans, we have a constitution that protects against this. This bill's penalties of damages for membership organizations' actions against our state public safety officers is unnecessary, considering we also
you're at the 145 mark.
Officials going beyond the scope of their office. We don't need more judicial action. Our constitutionally guaranteed right to own guns is not threatened by an emergency when we have a constitution protect us. This is a law on search.
Thank you very
problem.
Much for your testimony. Next in the queue is Sally Rue. Ms. Rue.
Thank you,
Chairman Klayman and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I appreciate this opportunity for public comment on HB 61. I understand there is a new version, but I have not had an opportunity to read it carefully. I'm a 46-year resident of Alaska, a mother and grandmother, and a gun owner. I'm not anti-gun or anti-Second Amendment, but I have serious concerns about HB 61 and its potential negative impact on the ability of the governor, state agencies, and local governments to protect the public health, safety, and welfare in the event of a declared disaster emergency. Why would we want to arbitrarily limit the ability of the governor, state, and municipal officials to respond to unique disaster emergencies in the most effective way to protect life and safety? Enacting a blanket prohibition on any kind of restrictions on possession and use of firearms and any other weapon, whatever that is defined at for personal use, during a disaster, second guesses the frontline local and state officials who know best what is happening on the ground. Although sponsors say this will not affect existing restrictions on carrying firearms in currently prohibited locations, I would like to see a specific clause added to that effect if you choose to move this bill forward. I see new legislative intent, but I'm not sure that that is adequate. If this bill is enacted, what happens when an emergency shelter is set up in another location? Will first responders and local emergency officials be prohibited from restricting a person from bringing a firearm and other weapons? Will families with children be sheltered with a lot of stressed out, exhausted people with loaded firearms and other weapons? Can we expect volunteers from the Red Cross and other organizations will feel safe volunteering in this environment? I'm told these restrictions would not apply to Red Cross shelters as they are NGO. If that is correct, do they apply to any NGO running an emergency shelter? What if the state or a local government set up an emergency shelter? My second major concern is in...
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next in the queue, we have Rochelle Parker. Ms. Parker, if you want to identify yourself and any affiliation you may have.
Hi, my name is Rochelle Parker. I'm a constituent of Senator Klayman from Anchorage, and I find it shameful that the committee would hold a last-minute hearing for this bill on Mother's Day, a time that we should be honoring the mothers and mother figures in our lives, instead of advancing NRA-backed legislation that could put more lives at risk, which causes me to question, do we in this state love our guns more than we love our mothers and our children? Because so many mothers around the state and around the country are grieving right now, either because they have lost a child to gun violence, or because we have to live with the daily mental weight that comes with the constant threat of gun violence. And we've heard today, guns are the leading cause of death for children and teens in Alaska and across the United States. And every time we take our kids to school or go to the grocery store or go to a birthday party, now we have to consider whether the unthinkable will happen, because it has been happening every week around the country. So it's astounding to me that we aren't taking action to protect kids from gun violence. And I understand and I respect the need to safeguard Alaskan Second Amendment rights, but this bill is unnecessary and could prevent leaders from making decisions that would keep children and families safe in unknown disaster situations. So that's why I oppose this bill, and on Mother's Day, I would plead with you to instead consider action to advance secure firearm storage laws and extreme risk protective order laws that have been proven to prevent.
Ms. Parker, you're at the 145 mark.
Suicide. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have CJ Cohn. If you would please identify yourself for the record, you may proceed.
Hi, my name is CJ Cohn. I'm from Wasilla, and I'm speaking for myself. In experience, if we look at cities who have rigid gun laws, it's evident that the only ones that are protected are the ones with illegal guns, not the citizens. I believe that HB 61 is a good bill, and I support it. I agree with everything that Representative Kathy Tilden has said about the new, I can't remember what it was called, replacement bill. I disagree with the replacement bill. I think the original bill is the one that should be stuck with. And I also agree with the NRA comments. And this is, I would like to see this bill. They tried to get it out last year and it didn't happen. And
I would like to see this bill get to the Senate floor and to be put in place this year. Thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Eileen Foyle Saft. Ms. Saft.
For myself.
Can you hear us?
I'm a retired. Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. Please proceed.
Cool. I'm a retired school teacher and current volunteer at Providence Hospital. I'm calling on behalf of HB 61, and I strongly oppose this bill. This bill alarms me greatly, and I'm urging you to move this bill out of committee. It does nothing to ensure our safety. It is essential that the Assembly be equipped with responsibility of declaring gun-free zones. Reasonable limits must be considered during state emergencies. I am baffled that this bill is being even considered. Providence Hospital does not allow firearms and asks me each time I come to volunteer if I'm carrying a firearm. It's worrisome. I worry that mass confusion and chaos will pose a threat in the event of an emergency, and I'm asking that sensible restrictions be put into place. This is my public testimony, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak. I do feel disappointed that this is taking place on Mother's Day in the afternoon. I'm not clear why, but maybe it's a Hallmark holiday, but I do wish all of the mothers out there happy Mother's Day, and God help us all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue of Janelle Dockendorf. Please proceed.
Hello. My name is Janelle Dockendorf, and I've been an Alaska resident for over 30 years, and I support HB 61. I believe that guns are okay for hunting, and people should have the right to have guns in their house for protection in case anything happens. We do need guns to protect ourselves and our families. So I hope this bill goes forward with a yes. I do support it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, we have Edith Coons. Ms. Coons, please proceed.
Could you repeat that name again?
Edith Coons.
Oh, sorry, that is me. My phone's messed up. Hello, this is Edith Margaret Coons from Kodiak, and I have a quick comment. I also was a little bit concerned that this came up on Mother's Day, but just like to honor all the mothers out there very quickly. I am in support of HB 61. I realize it's not a perfect bill. There are some issues with it, but I feel that in limiting people, good, responsible, honest citizens who might need to arm themselves or buy ammunition during an emergency, I feel that would be a mistake. So because of that reason, I'm in support of HB 61. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue is Greg Collins. Mr. Collins, please proceed.
Yeah, Greg Collins here. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I strongly support HB 61, and after seeing what's happened in some of the natural disasters in the lower 48, especially during the hurricane down there when they closed all the gun stores and then they started confiscating guns, it's not a good thing. And we in Alaska pretty much depend on our guns. I'm a concealed carry instructor. Taught a class for women on target this weekend, and a lot of happy people. But if we make it during a disaster where we can't protect ourselves, there's not enough law enforcement around to take care of that. So many citizens can stand up and keep the wolves at bay, if you will. So strongly support HB 61. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next in the queue, I have Caroline Porter. Ms. Porter.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. My name is Carolyn Porter. I'm calling from Palmer. I'm representing myself, my husband, and our daughter. I am calling in support of H. Bill 61. I called previously during another hearing, and my feelings have not changed. I've listened to folks talk about being concerned the governor arbitrarily not being able to make decisions. I'm concerned about regular Alaskans arbitrarily not being able to defend themselves. In a disaster, more than any other time, we need to be able to have access to whatever we need to take care of ourselves, our families, our homes. If we think that the people who want to do nefarious actions will not have weapons, then we're very naive. I don't think any responsible Alaskan wants to go around blasting, but we do have the right through the U.S. Constitution to protect ourselves, to keep and bear arms. So I am strongly in support, as are my husband and daughter, of this House bill. Thank you so much for allowing me to testify and for spending your Mother's Day listening to us, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
Thank you very much. I don't have anybody else online. Is there anyone in the room that's come in since I last asked that would like to provide public testimony on House Bill 61? Hearing and seeing no one, we'll close public hearing on House Bill 61. So we're going to take a brief at ease. Any final comments from members of the committee? Hearing and seeing none. Oh, Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ahead of myself.
I know, you hardly ever look on this side of the table. Anyway, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the bill. I appreciate what's behind the intent behind it. I also actually appreciate the amendment in the committee substitute that's on page 2, lines 4 through 7. And this is where, Mr. Chairman, the exception for closures, mandated closures by the government, gives exemption to the closure of grocery stores, pharmacies, medical facilities, and businesses that provide housing, including rental accommodations, hotels, and motels. The reason I do that, I support particularly that exemption for those entities is, you know, we've been talking about the rights that the Second Amendment provides, Mr. Chairman. Well, the items that are in this list of businesses actually meet the natural rights of citizens to life, liberty, and property. Food, medical care, and housing. These are fundamental natural rights, Mr. Chairman. And so making sure that they're exempted in here as well, I think, is really important. Meeting constitutional muster. Thank you, Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. I don't see any other. Oh, Senator Keel.
Thank you. The reason the chair doesn't always look left is that I'm usually talking. Mr. Chair, to Senator Giesel's comment, the courts in McDougal and in some of the cases that were recited in the McDougal decision applied strict scrutiny. And I think Senator Giesel's comments were very prescient, or very insightful is the word I'm looking for, sorry, on what is spelled out in that subsection 4. Plumbing isn't there, even though you need that to protect your property when something goes funny. Hardware stores, there are all sorts of things that could be argued and have been considered in the past essential. Recent past, none of those are in there except food, medicine, and a roof over your head. It is the strictest of standards I can possibly think of. So I appreciate that they're there, and I think it's a very responsible approach.
Thank you very much. Senator Kaufman, anything?
No, sir.
Okay. Senator Tobin, you're online. Anything you'd like to add?
No, but thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Senator Giesel, I have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 61. It's Work Order 33 LS0333-D-Delta with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Hearing no objections, House Bill 61 moves from committee. If you will please stay behind to sign the paperwork. With that, we will adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is tomorrow, Monday, May 15 at 1:30 p.m. I would note that we have potentially a long floor session, so don't count on us starting at 1:30, but we'll keep you posted. And we stand adjourned. The time is now 2:50 p.m.